Now, there's a lot of variety in the world of brownies. You can keep it simple or get really creative.
On this week's edition of Food Friday, our guest has lots of ideas for making great brownies and blondies with different textures and flavors.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you make brownies from scratch, or do you have a favorite box mix you go with? What's your favorite brownie recipe? What makes the perfect brownie for you? Fudgy? Cakey? Which do you like the most? Call 800-642-1234. What's the best brownie you ever had? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Leah Hislop is a food and lifestyle editor and writer and deputy editor at Waitrose Food Magazine. Her books include Made in London and her latest, The Brownie Diaries, my recipes for happy times, heartbreak, and everything in between. Leah, welcome to Central Time.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Leah, you say right at the top of your book that you can basically mark out the passage of time in your life with brownie memories. Can you talk a little bit about why you love brownies so much and why you see them as a good dessert?
Of course. I mean, I think they've kind of got a special place in the hearts of lots of us, haven't they, really? I think they're kind of a unique thing in baking. I always think that they're kind of like indulgent and treaty, but also kind of really homely and comforting at the same time. And there's not many things that do that. And I just love their versatility. I think you can kind of, you know, have them really simple, or you can kind of dress them up really fancy. If you're, you know, if you're a keen cook, they're just like an amazing blank canvas for you to do whatever you want with them. So I love them. And yeah, when I started writing this book, I felt that I could kind of look back through life and see lots of moments where brownies had made a difference.
One key decision to make when you're making brownies is, do you want them dense and fudgy or a little more fluffy and cakey? First of all, what is it in our recipe and our cooking style that makes the difference between those two things?
It's a kind of combination of things, but in general, it's kind of proportion of chocolate, sugar, fat, really, in comparison to flour. So a cakey brownie will be a little bit less indulgent on the chocolate and the butter, and it will probably have more flour in it, so it's got a bit more of kind of gluten structure going on. It can also be a bit to do with how long you cook them. I love both styles, actually. Like, people get very very opinionated on the subject of fudgy versus cakey, but you know, I think there's a place for all of them.
And Leah, I understand from your book that one American icon that had very clear feelings on at least flour content in brownies was Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, yeah. Katharine Hepburn was a big fan of the brownie, which I really enjoy as a piece of trivia. And there's just this great story about her meeting someone and writing them a little note, which gave them some advice for life. And I can't quite remember exactly what it was, but it was like, number one, be yourself. Number two, something, something. Number three, don't put too much flour in your brownies, which I really enjoy. And it's good advice.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Leah Hislop about her new cookbook, The Brownie Diaries, my recipes for happy times, heartbreak, and everything in between. You can join in with your favorite brownies or your brownie-related questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I make a brownie. It's a very dense brownie. And then once that's cool, I make a homemade caramel sauce that thickens up when it cools. I pour that over the brownie. And then when that's cool, I whip up a homemade batch of marshmallows and I pour that over. And that's like a good inch and a half thick marshmallow on top of all that. And then drizzle that with some of the caramel sauce and chocolate. And it is really good.
Well, you had me with that brownie with caramel, marshmallow and chocolate on top of it. Is this something you make all the time, Lisa, or is this your like special occasion brownies?
Well, I only used to make it once in a while, and now I have people requesting it, and you can't eat, you know, you have to cut them small because they're very rich, but they are just the best.
Oh, I'll cut them as big as I want. Lisa, thanks for that. Now, in your book, Leah, you offer a lot of different toppings and other things that can go into or on top of brownies. What are some of your favorite combos?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you've got to develop 52 brownie recipes for a book, you go pretty mad by the end of it. so I've got all sorts of things. I've got one of my favorites is one that's kind of inspired by Scotland. So it's got kind of bits of fudge in it, bits of shortbread.
Some haggis.
And a good,
oh, no way.
Yeah, a bit of, absolutely. No, I'm joking. good splash of whiskey, though. And then I've got my hangover brownies, which are maple syrup and bacon, which is, you know, classic combo. But yeah, there's everything in there, really, from the weird to the wonderful.
And Leah, you passed us along a few recipes. We have those up on our website at wpr.org/foodfriday. And let's start with classic 101. This is in the section of your book, Brownies for Every Day, the ultimate fudgy brownies. What are the secrets to putting this together?
Yeah, so this is kind of, the sort of first recipe in the book. It's my blueprint, and I do love it very dearly. It took me a long time to get to kind of the point where I was completely happy with it. So my kitchen was just full of chocolate and, crumbs for weeks while I tried to get my head around it. But in the end, it's super fudgy. So there's a lot of chocolate in it, about 300 grams, plenty of sugar, eggs. I always add an extra, I quite often add an extra egg yolk because it just kind of adds a little bit of extra richness. And I often do a mix of flour and cocoa powder because you might think you don't need cocoa powder if you've got melted chocolate in a brownie, but actually it kind of brings another dimension of chocolatiness to it, I always think, a kind of deeper flavor. So I quite often have a little bit of that. And you can do that at home if you have a recipe that's usually flour. If you swap a bit out for cocoa powder, I think it makes a difference.
You can find that recipe and a couple others at wpr.org/foodfriday. Okay, Leah, I usually make my brownies in a rectangular glass, baking dish. You go square. Oh, talk about your favorite kind of brownie baking tin.
Yeah, I go square. I find it just kind of a nice, manageable size. And I use at home, I use a loose bottom tin because I find that really useful. You're not kind of like trying to prize it out of a tin where it's stuck. And I always recommend using a metal tin, preferably a kind of pale metal tin. I find it cooks a bit more evenly than glass or ceramic. Not quite sure of the science of that, but I tend to find you get a better result with a metal tin.
And Leah, you lay out a few kind of four key elements to making a brownie. Can you walk us through those? What are sort of the core elements of making a brownie if we're thinking about it very simply?
Yeah, well, if you think about a cake, usually you start by creaming butter and sugar together and that gets kind of air in and you get that light fluffiness. You don't want to do that with a brownie, right? You want kind of dense fudge a lot of the time. So instead, it starts in a different way where you're melting butter and chocolate together. After that, you're kind of adding your sugar and your eggs. I quite often use a beater once I've put the eggs in. I find if you give it a good kind of whiz, it tends to help get that kind of lovely crust on top, that kind of beautiful, crackly, crinkly top you get on really nice brownies. So I often do that. And then last but not least, you're folding in your flour and your cocoa if you're using it. And you do that pretty gently. And that's a good time to add some salt as well. I always think salt makes a lot of difference to brownies.
We heard on the Ideas Network Facebook page from Marsha, who writes, "My favorite brownie is a from-scratch recipe that's more of a baked fudge beyond rich." And Marsha says, "My first baking experience was a blondie recipe I learned in home economics class." Is there a magical dividing line, Leah, between fudge and a really fudgy brownie?
Magical dividing line. That's a good question. Depends how long you bake it, I think, a lot of the time. I always recommend fridging my brownies, which not everyone does. But if you like fudginess, it kind of just firms it up. Somehow you put a kind of squishy brownie in the fridge and it goes kind of firm and very fudge-like. Again, the science of that is a mystery to me, but I really recommend it. That's easier to cut as well.
It's Food Friday. Leah Hislop is with us. Her new cookbook is called The Brownie Diaries, My Recipes for Happy Times, Heartbreak, and Everything in Between.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite variations on the brownie? How about blondies? What brownie successes or failures have you had in the kitchen? Our guest is here to help you troubleshoot and get some ideas for spicing it up with brownies in the kitchen. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Dean Kinetter. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday talk about brownies with Leah Hislop, author of the new cookbook, The Brownie Diaries, My Recipes for Happy Times, Heartbreak, and Everything in Between.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite style of brownie, a favorite brownie you've ever eaten, whether it was homemade, restaurant bought, or whatever? Do you have a question about how to make the best brownies? Are you baking some right now? I see ya. Tell us about them. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Leah, something that I've had to work on in my brownie game over time is how to tell when they're done, how they're fudgy but not raw. What tips do you have for us on telling when a brownie is done?
That is the ultimate challenge, isn't it? I think it takes practice. But I would say, first of all, get to know your oven. Does it run a bit hotter? Does it run a bit cooler than other ovens? Always recommend getting a temperature checker if you can. And if you know that your oven runs a bit hot, I would recommend you start checking maybe like 5 to 10 minutes before the recipe says, you know, it's going to be ready. You know, it's not like a cake. It's not going to sink. So it's safe to check. So that's a good tip. I usually take mine out when they have a tiny bit of movement still in the tin. You know, when you kind of shake it and there's just a little bit of jiggle in the center, because mm-hmm. they continue cooking as you take them out. So that's a good tip for me. And, you know, the skewer test that you use for cakes, it doesn't quite work for brownies, but you can still do a skewer test. So if you put it in and you're getting kind of liquid batter, you know, that's not ready. If you put it in and it's dry, you've kind of overdone it. But if you're getting kind of like crumbs, you know, like chocolate crumbs, kind of moist chocolate crumbs stuck to it, I think that's usually a good moment for me to think that's probably about ready.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Joe is with us in Madison. Joe, hello.
Hi, I have a quick two-part question. Has the guest ever heard of America's Test Kitchen? They have a recipe for a triple chocolate chip cookie, which I've used for years. And if you make it thicker, no one would know it wasn't a brownie. So the second question is, what is the difference really between a good chocolatey or fudgy, even chocolate chip cookie versus double chocolate or triple chocolate cookie versus a brownie? And any thoughts on America's Test Kitchen? Thank you.
Joe, thanks for the call. We've talked to America's Test Kitchen a time or five on the show. Leah, thoughts on that border between a really chocolatey fudgy cookie and a really fudgy brownie?
I have heard of America's Test Kitchen. I don't know it well, but that is a good question, isn't it? I think often people refer to brownies as, in the US anyway, you guys refer to them as bar cookies a lot, which I think is an interesting phrase. We don't really have that in the UK. But I think it's about kind of, I mean, for me, it's just a question of kind of depth, isn't it? Like, I think a cookie is, you get a lot more surface, right? You get that kind of, the crust is kind of a lot of the main event. Whereas a brownie, I think you get that squidgy depth. Still the crust on top, but it's kind of a smaller part. So I suppose that's how I think about it. I'm not quite sure what the scientific difference would be. America's Test Kitchen would probably have a better answer for that.
We mentioned blondies just before the break, and Leah, you passed us along a recipe that we have up at WPR.org/Food Friday for first day on the job blondies. Can you tell us about these?
Oh, yeah. So this idea was that you start a new job and, you know, what do you want to do? You probably want to take something along that you can share out and, you know, win some new friends with. So that I designed a blondie for that. So something that you can carry, that it's, you know, it's not going to disintegrate, carries well in a Tupperware, and that most people are going to like. So it's a kind of a classic white chocolate blondie, but it's gently spiced with kind of like chai spices. So kind of like ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, love those flavors. And then it's got little squares of milk chocolate studded on the top as well. So you get that mix of milk and white chocolate, which I think is really nice and balances out the sweetness. It's probably my favorite recipe in the book, actually.
Again, you can find that at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. We've got David with us in Oshkosh. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about your brownie habits, David?
I just love to make sure the edges are right. You know, I mean, you got to get the edges perfectly, not crisp, but just chewy, you know? And then I love putting marijuana in my brownies. I don't know if you guys do.
David, thanks for the call. We'll leave no comment on that one. But Leah, getting the edges of our brownies right, what do you think?
I'm going to say metal tin again. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I really think that helps. It kind of conducts the heat enough, so you're going to get it just helps. Trust me, metal tin all the way.
And earlier we were talking about some of the ways in your book that you get really creative with brownies. One thing that stuck out to me is there is a popcorn brownie in the book, Leah. Could you tell us how can we incorporate popcorn into a brownie?
Oh, yeah. I was being slightly silly with that one. That's called my Netflix and chili brownie. so it's it's designed to be, you know, to have on the sofa on a date. So it's popcorn and chili kind of mixed in. I mean, popcorn works really well in brownies. I usually chop a bit and then mix it through the batter. And then once it's in the tin, I push popcorn into the top as well. You want to use that kind of crunchy toffee popcorn. I don't know what you call it in the US. But yeah, you want to use that stuff because it kind of does make sure it doesn't go soggy.
All right, we've got one more recipe you shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. This is, now we had the first day on the job blondie. Now this is the Lonesome Tonight brownies. So first of all, before we get to the recipe, what goes into your mind when you want a Lonesome Tonight brownie? What are you shooting for there?
I was just thinking, you know, like brownies are very cheering, aren't they? Like, I think they are one of those foods that just always cheers you up. So I wanted a recipe that was, you know, perfect for those days where, I don't know, you know, you've had a breakup or you've had a bad day at work and you just want comfort. But you also probably don't want to go to the shops, crucially. So it's kind of got lots of store cupboard stuff in it, Oreos and peanut butter, which I think, you know, the two comforting things in the cupboard, aren't they, at all times? So that's that one. It's very indulgent. But, you know, that's what you need.
We're talking with Leah Hislop right now, author of the new book, The Brownie Diaries, My Recipes for Happy Times, Heartbreak, and Everything in Between. Leah, we talked about tips on how to find out when a brownie is done, ready to take out of the oven. What are some other roadblocks, common mistakes that people should be watching out for?
That's a good question. Obviously, yeah, so taking out at the right time is, I think, is the big one that a lot of people stumble upon. Using the right kind of chocolate, I think, is pretty crucial. I mean, I tend to use, and most of my recipes use, what we call here kind of like 70% dark chocolate. So pretty dark. And I just think that does give the best chocolatey flavor. Using kind of milder chocolate, I don't know why, but it just doesn't. Yeah, like milk chocolate, I love, but it just doesn't have the same impact in a brownie. So I would say, yeah, using good ingredients is kind of crucial. Salt, which I mentioned earlier, doesn't really make it taste salty, but if you just put, even if you can, you know, health allowing, if you just put 1/4 teaspoon in a batch, it just kind of makes all the flavors come together really nicely.
Now, Leah, Dean made some brownies yesterday and brought them in, but... or actually, you didn't make them yourself. Somebody else, but you were the transporter. True.
Yes.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, one of our colleagues couldn't eat them because she's got to be gluten free. You've got an answer for that. What are the keys to making a gluten free brownie that people still want to eat?
Yeah, I've got a few recipes in the book for those kind of tricky moments. But yeah, gluten free. I did a lot of testing for this. I tried a lot of different flours. I mean, personally, I find that a lot of the kind of conventionally available gluten-free flours don't do much for me. They've always got a kind of slightly grainy texture. So for me, ground almonds is the secret. Ground almonds work a lot like flour, and they just bring a kind of lovely nuttiness. So I love using those. And the other thing that works well is corn flour, which, you know, I mostly use for kind of like thickening stews and things, but corn flour works quite well as well. It's because it's so fine, I think it doesn't have that grainy feel. So my recipe actually is a mix of ground almonds and corn flour, and that works well for me.
And on the other hand, Leah, are there ways to make a brownie a little bit healthier if we're watching out for that?
Yeah, just about. I mean, I've got a few in the book as well for that. So, I have got one called I Should Eat More Vegetables that has carrots in it, but it also has cream cheese frosting. So I can't really claim that one's much healthier. But yeah, I also have one that it's slightly lower on kind of sugar, butter, all that stuff. And that's got butternut squash in, which works really well. You can't really taste it. I guess it's a little bit like carrots in a carrot cake in that sense. But yeah, it means you just don't have to use quite as much sugar fat, and it gives it a nice kind of, it's got kind of nice moistness to it, which helps in a brownie.
And I've also heard of substitutes like applesauce and I think even black beans in brownies. Is that something you've encountered?
You know, I've tried the beans. I tried chickpeas. I wasn't into it. I could taste it. But maybe it works for some people.
Leah, I got to ask, I mean, you like brownies, but You've been working on brownies a long time and presumably trying multiple incarnations of all these recipes. Did you hit a brownie wall at some point where it was like, okay, maybe enough with the brownies for a while?
Oh, yeah, that was a big wall. I mean, I wrote this book during the start of the pandemic. So it was like the first lockdown we had here in the UK. And I just went a bit mad. Just like brownies all over the house. No one I could share them with except my husband. So like, you know, it got to this point where I didn't even know what a brownie was meant to taste like anymore. You know, I'd be like, should it taste like this? Is this right? So yeah, I definitely hit a brownie wall. I didn't eat them for a good 6 months after finishing the book, but thankfully I'm back on the brownie bandwagon now.
And have you gotten to revive some of that social aspect of the brownie? Have you gotten to start sharing them with people again?
I have, which has been really nice. And it's been really nice to see people's reactions and the ones they like. Yeah, because it's such an important part of cooking, isn't it? It's very strange to write a book like this in a vacuum, because food is all about sharing, and brownies especially are about sharing, I think. You know, you don't make them for yourself, do you? They're a tray bake. They're intrinsically shareable.
All right, Leah, it is a drizzly, kind of dismal day in Wisconsin today, or most of Wisconsin anyway. What kind of brownie matches that mood?
Oh, that is a good question. I would probably make my what I call my tea and sympathy brownies, which are flavored with a little hint of tea, and they've got biscuits pressed into them. So they are very comforting.
Leah, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today. I appreciate it. That's Leah Hislop, a food and lifestyle editor and writer. Her new cookbook is called The Brownie Diaries, My Recipes for Happy Times, Heartbreak, and Everything in Between. You can find a few recipes from Leah over at WPR.org/Food Friday. We've got the, we just talked about the Lonesome Tonight brownies, some peanut butter in there, the First Day on the Job blondies, like cardamom and cinnamon in that, and then your basic ultimate fudgy brownies. Okay, Dean, if you had to make one, which one would it be this year weekend?
I'm a bit of a fan of the blondies, Rob. I think I'm going to have to try those First Day on the Job blondies.
You know,
and some days feel like that anyways.
I forget about the existence of blondies, and then I have a blondie, and I'm like, these are really good. So yeah, I think I might go that way too.
Well, I will gladly transport them if they are made.